Governor Doug Burgum with us today in Bismarck for the visit of the EPA administrator. Been a busy couple of days for the governor. Nice to see you, Doug. How are you?
Great to be with you, Scott. I think you got the best view in North Dakota sitting right here looking out over the Missouri River. A gorgeous, beautiful day in our beautiful state.
It is. It is. Now, Monsignor Shea might argue with you about that because I know that they kind of ping-pong back and forth. They're kind of nice up on the hill, and this one's not too bad either, right over the Missouri, so yeah. You can't go wrong. We have many.
Yes.
We have many. So let's talk first about yesterday. Big announcement, a name like Mitsubishi, obviously a major, major player, connected with a group of North Dakota investors on the hydrogen space. Talk about the significance of what was announced yesterday.
Well, Mitsubishi, along with Bakken Energy, with deep North Dakota ties, made an announcement that they're planning on building a facility here, a hydrogen hub, will be the largest producer of clean hydrogen in North America. They've got a vision that's going out decades. They're working on a hub in Utah, one in the Gulf area, and they want to put together a pipeline system just like we have in our country for natural gas to be able to move hydrogen around the country. And they're going to start with blue hydrogen, where we take the abundant natural gas we have here in North Dakota, and then you convert that into hydrogen into CO2. The CO2 we can either sequester or we can use it for enhanced oil recovery. And then the hydrogen, you got a blue hydrogen in this case, is a carbon-free fuel, which could be used for transportation fuels. It could be used for creating electricity. Can be used in a lot of other processes. It could be used to create ammonia, blue ammonia. We could have carbon-free fertilizer that we could be selling to California. So this is a entire new industry, and the benefits to our oil and gas industry are multifold, because you've got we've always had an issue of too much gas and the gas flaring. Well, this plant will be the largest consumer of natural gas, so they can sweep up all of our extra flare gas.
Wow.
And burn it off.
How do they do that? Where are they getting it from?
They'll be able to collect it.
Gathering pipelines to get it from the...
Yes.
Okay.
Yep. And if they work out this plan with the Great Plains Synfuel plant, where we're actually currently owned by Basin, but that was announced yesterday that they're in discussion to sell the Synfuel plants to this new partnership. That plant has been doing carbon separation and carbon CO2 exporting. We've been shipping CO2 to Canada for 30 years from North Dakota to use for enhanced oil recovery there. So they could potentially even reverse that pipeline, because if we need the CO2 here versus exporting it, they could use those pipelines as gathering lines for the flaring. But then now we also we've had takeaway constraints. We know about DAPL. We've had takeaway constraints for gas on the major pipeline called Northern Border, because our gas is so rich in all the things you want, the tanes, as they call it, the ethanes and the propanes, but that heats it up. If it's too much, if the gas is too hot, it can't go down the pipe. FERC is thinking about putting a cap on the number of BTUs that would go through Northern Border. But if you take hydrogen, a pure stream of hydrogen, add it to our gas, it lowers the heat content. So we can actually increase our takeaway for gas. And when we increase our takeaway for gas, that raises our potential to do more oil development. So this announcement yesterday, hits in every direction. Innovation, job retention, job expansion, helps our oil and gas industry, and helps us with the decarbonization of the great capability we have here. But again, as we talk about North Dakota winning the geologic jackpot, and we've got that, with our lignite, we have it with our oil and gas in the Bakken, and we've also, with a study last year in our lignite, we've got the highest concentrations of rare earth minerals in North Dakota of any place in North America, and we're right now dependent on the Chinese for these key rare earth minerals that are in every single, for example, in every single cell phone. So we
and microchip, and right now that's why cars are not being produced. 40,000 GM, one company alone. I think Honda's 100,000 units behind what would be quote unquote normal, because they can't get the microchips because of COVID and and again rare earth minerals. So you're right, this is unbelievable to put all these together. On this particular project, is there anything that has to happen for this to come together? You mentioned Basin. Does that deal have to happen? Do they need more capital? What would be the deal breakers between now and the finish line?
Well, there was a lot of confidence yesterday between the parties at the announcement that this deal was going to get done. But yes, their Basin and Bakken Energy are working on the transfer, the sale of the Sinfuel plants, the Dakota Gasification plant, which was built in the 1970s. Interestingly, built when the federal government thought that we were going to run out of natural gas in our country, and so they invested federal dollars in creating a plant to convert lignite coal into natural gas. That's where the coal gasification plant came from. But they've got that deal to get done, but a lot of confidence. But the announcement, they said if that doesn't get done, they're still committed to doing a hydrogen hub in North Dakota. But the other thing, which is also great, and we can thank, 20 years of leadership going back to, regulators like Kevin Cramer when he was state regulator, John Hoeven when he was governor, is that it's one thing to have the geologic jackpot. Other places in the world have the geologic jackpot for both the resource and for the storage of CO2, but they don't have the regulatory framework. I mean, one of the things we're talking about with the EPA administrator is North Dakota was the first state in the nation to achieve primacy, the ability for us to regulate ourselves around Class 6 wells, which allows us to actually do the carbon sequestration and storage. And so we have a regulatory framework. What we passed with the legislature this year on salt cavern storage is another reason why the announcement happened yesterday, because you can't do these projects like PetChem or like hydrogen unless you can store massive amounts of these products that you're developing in underground storage caverns. And we've got the geology to have salt caverns just like they do down in Louisiana on the Gulf. So,
and the ethanol industry has been at the tip of the spear on that, right?
Yep.
Already in North Dakota, Richardson, Underwood, working on these things right now.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. The synergy between ag and energy, like you talked about, between the new ADM plant and the refinery in Dickinson, and us being able to sell green diesel to California, well, they'll pay a premium for that. There's so many exciting things that are happening, and so this all fits into our. You know, Brent Sanford and I, we talk about innovation over regulation all the time, because the path to a future for our state, our nation, our world is through innovation. It's not through regulation.
And, I think our listeners and maybe just in general North Dakotans sort of take this for granted, but I'm thinking of the UAS test, FAA test site up in Grand Forks, and you talk to a company like Harris or General Atomics or Northrop Grumman, major international defense contracts who literally can locate it anywhere in the world. There's FAA test sites other places. Mm-hmm. And you say, why North Dakota? And they say, we can get your governor on the phone. The senators help us in D.C. I mean, there is, like you talk about, the regulatory environment, but also the action behind it to say, hey, we welcome you. We want you here. Other places want to beat them up. So that's very important. I don't know that we as the citizens, the voters, understand how important that is.
Well, it's very important. And again, going back to this, the teamwork we have between the federal, our congressional delegation, the state working together, it's one thing to have the geologic jackpot. If you don't have the policy framework that fits over the top of that, you don't attract the capital. And so one of the things that, we've talked about at the Williston Basin Petroleum Conference was this aspirational goal for North Dakota to be carbon neutral by 2030 as a state, not a company, not an individual, right. not a farmer, but as a state. Well, then you say, how do you get there? Well, we have in the Bakken, part of the geologic jackpot is we can store 250 billion tons.
We fix the problem.
Of CO2.
We can fix the problem, right? Everybody considers the enemy, and we got a place to store it.
We can store it, and we can utilize it. I mean, we have an opportunity here. We've got announced at the conference, Denbury is going to be bringing CO2 into North Dakota, putting it downhole in legacy wells. They will put a one ton of CO2 down for every barrel of oil that comes up.
And that goes to your aspirational goal.
Yes.
Right? Because that now counts.
We're putting more CO2 down than we're producing.
Yeah.
So that, in this case, they will be a net negative oil company.
Now, some people hear you say that and say, why are we joining this woke crowd of having to, and I think what a lot of us, again, don't understand is that we have no choice, right? I mean, these companies, publicly traded, they're hearing ESG, ESG, ESG every day in their boardrooms. They're punished by big investors if they don't do it. I mean, that train's left the station, hasn't it?
Well, yeah, they're not just getting punished. They're getting obliterated with $45 trillion of capital in the world across Asia, Europe, and the U.S. tied up in ESG investing. If you want to have your company go forward, you need capital. And the way you attract that capital capital right now is through an innovative approach, and decarbonization of fossil fuels is what people are investing in. I was talking to Mitsubishi last night. They can't get funding anywhere in the world for a straight up fossil fuels plant. I mean,
innovation. Because they're going to have to innovate a different way. Like you say, they can't fund. And meanwhile, China's building how many coal plants a year compared to our shutting them down?
The point we made this morning with the EPA administrator is, rather than regulating our coal industry out of business here, let's invest, let's put federal R&D dollars into it so we can decarbonize coal. Then we can sell the technology to China so that they can also.
So I have a minute left. I want to know, what's your benchmark of success for this gathering today and this visit? Do you think he actually can do that as a Biden administration EPA guy?
Well, this morning at breakfast, same as on the phone, he's someone who can listen. He understands it from a state perspective, and I hope everyone realizes that you can't flip a switch. We've got decades of transition that we need to go through, and the way we get there is investing. Instead of starving capital from fossil fuel companies, if we give them federal research dollars or private-public partnerships or incentives, market-based incentives for them, that's the way for us to get to this future.
Thank you, Governor. Great to see you.
Likewise, Scott.
Congrats on a couple of busy days like every other day in North Dakota.
Exactly.
Right? Yeah, appreciate it. Good to see you.
Thank you for being here.
Governor Doug Burgum with us on What's on Your Mind.